Blog Talk Radio.
Summer.
After the show, I'm sitting there playing, and yeah, it dies. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, everybody's got their AC on, trying to survive in the heat. I don't know what we'd do if there actually was an apocalypse and we didn't have electricity, if it was like Fallen Earth for real.
Oh, we'd move away from Texas is what we do.
I know, yeah, I'm saying. I know why I'd be in Wisconsin. I've been to Wisconsin in the summer. It is lovely. I have a mouthful of apple. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Yay, and we are actually having lunch with you today.
Trying not to chew all in your ear.
Yes, trying. Whether or not it works, we'll see.
What happened?
Oh, I was going to say, but I guess they did come here for some news.
They did. Go ahead and give it to them. Give it to them.
I can give it to them? Oh, I got you some news. Let me get it. Here we go. All right. Google in Taiwan. Oh, boy. Here we go with some fights. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. And I love me some Google. Okay. And, all right, so Google plays chicken with Taiwanese government. A new consumer protection law in Taiwan that requires online software retailers to offer customers a week-long free trial of any application that can be purchased via download has riled Google enough to disable Android marketplace sales in the region. Oh, not good. According to the government of Taiwan, Apple's App Store and Google's Android Market both violated this new policy. While Apple complied with the new rule, Google declined. For that reason, the Taiwanese government has fined Google approximately $35,000. In response to that fine, Google has disabled app purchases for Android users who live in Taiwan. The complex and highly disparate natures of laws governing commerce around the world pose serious challenges for global software vendors. It's Friday, people. Bear with me. The difficulty of navigating and complying with regional legal obligations is one of the reasons why Google's Android market isn't fully supported yet in every country. Google used to offer a 24-hour refund for the Android market, but it dropped the refund time limit to 15 minutes last year. This change was in part to application developers who voiced concerns over potential abuses of the 24-hour return period. They asked that it be reduced or abolished altogether. It's clear that Google is playing a game of chicken with the Taiwanese government, but it is doubtful who will blink first. I don't know. I'm thinking Google will probably buy and sell Taiwan, so...
We think. We don't know what's going on in Taiwan.
No, that's true. We don't know.
I just want to point out, I can't do this. It's a daytime show. I have a certain amount of emails in my box. It's kind of funny. Anyway... I'll share with you, Ginger, later.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes.
Matter of fact, I'll type it. There you go. All right, so lots of lovely, lovely, interesting news. Of course, there's some new footage of Batman Arkham Asylum that we'll be hopefully grabbing for you. They put it up in a strange place. What is with the You Send It people?
Don't know.
But we will tell you this. I think we've mentioned this all week, but we want to make sure you heard us. The game is available October the 31st in the UK for the Xbox, for Windows, and for PlayStation 3. I don't know if that's here for us as well. But we do have over 10 minutes of gameplay footage I'll be giving to you.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you can only get that from us because we're special.
we are special.
Yes. Okay, so this is so you know, they're going with a GTA-esque style of play, which means you're not going to be jacking bat cars, okay? The Batmobile. But you will be going into soaring, they say, into Arkham City, which sounds like you'll have the glider, Batman's glider. The game map is 5 times larger than the game world in Batman Arkham Asylum. I keep calling it Arkham Asylum. It's actually Arkham City. I know somebody out there's been screaming it at me every time I say it wrong. I hear you.
Our bad. We said it wrong.
That's right. And there's also a new maximum security home for all of Gotham City's thugs, gangsters, and insane criminal masterminds. It's going to be set inside the heavily fortified walls of the sprawling district in the heart of Gotham City. I find this exciting. I've always wanted to roam around Gotham City. I don't know about y'all. And of course, you got a cast of brand new characters we keep telling you about. You know, Catwoman's in it. You know, you got the Joker. See some other people that you from the past as well. And of course, you have a vast range of new and enhanced gameplay features to deliver the ultimate experience to the Dark Knight. Again, you can visit Batman Arkham City to sign up to receive updates, or you can just listen to us every morning. We pretty much tell you. There's also a community, community.batmanarkhamcity.com, to participate in the forums and stay abreast of all the latest Batman Arkham City news. And again, you could just stop over here every day.
Yes, yes, you could. You could just stop over here every day because we have good news. Well, we have news for you. Maybe it's not always good, but we have news for you every day.
You know, I do think there's one that we missed that I will tell you about. This was last week for some reason. I think we missed this because I would have been screaming. Just so you guys know, yes, Catwoman is a playable character, but also Robin.
Ooh, Robin too?
Yeah, but you have to pre-order the game from Best Buy.
I don't like going to them.
Well, it's Robin.
It's Best Buy. Ugh.
Well, he comes with two additional maps as well. The Black Mask Hideout and the Freight Train Escape. And the pack will also contain a bonus Red Robin character skin. So you might want to, if you're a big Batman Arkham Asylum fan, I'd say get it. If you know, eventually, I know on Xbox, it'll be a long while coming, but eventually they'll put this for free. But it might be like a year later. So if you can wait it out, just wait it out. They're not going to like me saying that, but we're here for you. We're not here for the game companies. We're here for you.
This is true. I'm thinking for Robin, I might have to give in and get over my hate of Best Buy.
First, we need to see how hot Robin is before we say those things.
True.
He might not
that's
be hot.
True.
And I want to look at him, a rendered Robin in. He's not cute.
Yeah. All right. I'm pulling some more news from GamePolitics.com this morning. California, I don't know what's wrong with you, California, but seriously, you guys, y'all have issues. All right, so California, the out-of-state online retailers collect state sales tax.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned that last night, but tell them about it, because not everybody listens at night.
Not everybody listens at night. California has told out-of-state online retailers to start collecting sales tax for customers residing in the state beginning July 1st. This includes Amazon.com, Overstock.com, and GameStop.com. Beginning Friday, this new requirement for retailers takes effect, along with a 1 percentage point drop in the tax. The new tax collection scheme is...
Wow. So we lost our Ginger. Ginger, are you there? Yeah, we lost our Ginger. So I guess I have to continue. Yay! More game releases, of course. Eden Eternal. You've heard us talk about that. There's a major content update coming to us this month. Area Games, of course, announced upcoming content for Eden Eternal. Eden Eternal has a packed schedule for early this month. It's July. Did you know it was July today? It includes new in-game content, and it introduces the Zumi race. What are the Zumi? Well, they're small mouse-like creatures with affection for invention and commerce. There's Ginger back. We lost you for a minute.
Time Warner, you and I are going to go around and around.
Ooh, Time Warner is in trouble.
They do not want to tangle with me right now.
Do you want to finish your story? I was just telling about Eden Eternal, but it can wait. It wasn't important.
Either way, All right, so where was I?
Tell me about the tax they're going to have to pay.
Yeah, all right, so besides the slight cost to California customers, there are other adverse effects to companies connected with Amazon and similar retailers. Amazon and online retailer Overstock.com has reportedly told thousands of California internet marketing affiliates that they will stop paying commissions for referrals of click-through customers. This is due to the fact that new requirement applies only to online sellers based out of state that have a connection to California, such as workers, warehouses, or offices. The LA Times reports that both Amazon in Seattle and Overstock in Salt Lake City have told affiliates that they would have to move to another state if they wanted to continue earning commissions for referring customers. California's law was drafted to circumvent a 1992 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that retailers can't be forced to collect sales tax unless they have a physical presence in the state. The new law establishes that presence by redefining in two ways. When a seller pays commissions to affiliate sites in California that refers to buyers, and when sellers have a related company operating in the state. Many of those affiliate companies said that they plan to move or are considering a move. Meanwhile, Governor Jerry Brown is praising the new law, calling it a common-sense idea. He signed the bill into law on Wednesday. Of course, Amazon does see it differently, they said. We oppose this bill because it is unconstitutional and counterproductive. This was wrote by Amazon to its California business partners Wednesday. Amazon has said that further actions has said what further actions it might take to challenge the California law. I think they mean to say California has not said what further actions it might take to challenge the California law. I don't know who wrote this, but yeah, I think you forgot some words here and there.
I am so eating crackers. Okay.
Ooh,
so,
crap.
Right. Oh, and they're the good kind. You know the kind, the buttery that I shouldn't be eating. Mm-hmm. But.
Oh, those sound good.
Aren't they delicious? Okay. Well, I hate to say this because it's in Texas, but bad things are happening for 30 people today. We feel really bad for you because Red Fly Studio is going to lay off 30 employees.
Oh, here in Texas?
Yes, here in Austin, Texas.
Oh, no, not good.
Well, the interview over at GameSpot, CEO Dan Borth lamented the decision attributed to sudden project cancellation. He said the reduction of staff was a response to a high-profile project that was, to our surprise, reevaluated then canceled. Red Fly debuted in 2008 with Mushroom Men and went on to develop a series of licensed games for the Nintendo Wii, including Ghostbusters and
Ooh.
Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2, which sucked. That will be why, people.
Yeah.
Red Fly has been an agile, passionate company from day one. And while this news is very difficult, he says we've made a concentrated effort to reinvest ourselves in the way we want to make games. Currently, we're all very excited about new opportunities and working diligently to make them a reality. Red Fly's last game, Thor: God of Thunder, was released April, selling 30,000 units across PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. You know, you guys got to steer clear of the games to movies, and you got to not make any... Force Unleashed is kind of based on a movie, but if you're going to do it, it's got to be done like Knights of the Old Republic. That game was stellar. Or Jedi Academy. It needed to be done in that vein, not the... Did you get to play The Force Unleashed and Unleashed 2? Okay, I play both. And I'm sorely disappointed that to fight a boss, to take him down, you have to do a combo of button moves. There's no movement from you, mind you. You just combo of buttons and hit them. It's not even a combo of buttons, okay? The X button will flash really large on the screen, and it'll tell you you press it repeatedly, so on and so forth. I'm not digging that at all. So I'm going to need you guys, whatever you're working on up there, step it up. We're sorry that you're closing because you're in Texas. You know, we want our Texas people to do well. We're all about some Texans.
Yes, yes, we are. We are all about us some Texans.
Ooh, I think I ate too many crackers.
Uh-oh.
My tummy don't feel right.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, don't be sick.
I'm going to sleep.
No, not yet. Not yet. You got about 45 minutes before you can go to sleep.
Damn it. Okay.
All right. I love this title, so I have to read this. Yes, yes. Kill friends for less.
What?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Kill your friends for less. Section 8 prejudice on sale at Steam. Oh, my God. TimeGate celebrates the new online competition. Already a bargain at its launch price, Section 8 Prejudice is an even better deal now thanks to a big sale on Steam starting this Thursday. From June 30th to July 11th, you'll be able to buy TimeGate's hit downloadable shooter for the amazing price of $9.99. That's one-third off the regular price. For only $10, you can take on the oh my God, all right. For only $10, you can take on the arm of Orion in the captivating single-player campaign, and then duke it out with your friends and enemies online in any of Prejudice's varied multiplayer modes. In celebration of this amazing deal, TimeGate is also beginning a new special season for our community on the Xbox 360 and PC to play in, with a chance to win prizes from our friends at Logitech and NVIDIA. This new season will run the length of Steam sale from June 30th to July 11th at 11:59 p.m. CDT. As usual, players on both of the Xbox 360 and PC will compete for bragging rights in kills, XP, destructions, teamwork, combat, and time played. The top players in each category, separate for PC and Xbox, will win a shiny new toy to go along with being the top dog over the length of the sale. You'll need to be a member of the TimeGate forums and have registered for their stats service to be eligible. For more information on this, you can visit warisprejudice.com.
Like I said, eligible. You guys make sure you're eligible. That's our ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, I had to swallow that cracker. Wow, that was tasty. Okay, well, you know what? I forgot. I didn't finish telling you about Eden Eternal. We're gonna keep it short because, you know, it wasn't that intricate. There's a new playable race, of course. You have some new dungeons and a new ranking reward system that's going to, each month, top players and guilds from each server will be rewarded for their efforts with rare and valuable prizes. Since they won't be real money or anything like that, I wouldn't get too excited. Eden Eternal is an anime-style MMORPG.
And I played the beta. It's beautiful.
Was that really? I knew one of us played it. I couldn't remember who, if it was you, Blaster. Of course, it was created by the award-winning developers X-Legend Entertainment. Every title at Area Games, Eden Eternal is free to play. So you can check them out at edeneternal.areagames.com. And Area is spelled A-E-R-I-A Games, just in case you were wondering. But that is not what I wanted to share with you. I wanted to make sure, wait a minute, am I on the right day? Because you know how sometimes these people load their press releases all crazy. It'll say yesterday and then it's up today.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so I want to talk to you actually about GDC because they are giving away real money.
Are they?
The UMB Tech Web Game Network, who's organizer of a leading games developer conference and events, has officially opened submissions for their 2012 IGF, the Independent Games Festival, which is going to be held at the GDC this next year in San Francisco, March 5th through the 9th. And hopefully we will be there. I haven't been to San Francisco yet. That should be interesting. The IGF is the longest-running and highest-profile independent video game festival, summit, and showcase, and is now accepting entries to its 14th annual, with deadlines in the main and student showcase categories by October 17th and 31st, respectively, of this year. So you have until October of this year to get ready for next year. Finalists will be announced next year in January. All games.
Wow, that's a long time away.
Yeah, a long time. It'll go by quickly. All games selected as finalists will be available in playable form at the IGF Pavilion on the GDC show floor March 7th through the 9th, 2012. Yeah, you know that last year we're all supposed to be here. And, of course, it will compete for nearly $60,000 in prizes, which you won't be able to spend because the world's ending in December of next year. This is a significant increase from last year. This also includes high-profile $5,000 Nuevo Award honoring abstract, short-form, and unconventional video game development. In addition, awards for excellence in visual art, audio and design, the technical excellence, best mobile game, the best student game, and the audience award now receive a $3,000 prize, and the signature Thomas McNally grand prize for the Independent Game of the Year has also been increased by 50% to a record $30,000. And just so you really feel like a rock star, the winners are going to be announced on stage during the IGF Awards on that Wednesday, March the 7th, at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. And the IGFs, of course, are held immediately before the Wider Games Developer Choice Awards. Well, let me see if what else we need to know here. I think the rest of this we'll just post up for you. Make sure you check it out. Again, the submissions are officially open, so you've got this brilliant game stuck in your head that you've been working on. Go ahead and submit it. You can go over to their website. It's IGF.com. That's IG as in girl, F as in Frank.com, and get your submissions in, and we will keep you posted.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
It is on our calendar, but you won't see it until it starts getting closer to the date because of the way I have it set up. So don't feel like you don't have it on the calendar.
Yeah.
It's there. It's just not going to show until it's close to time.
All right. Yesterday we talked about the whole the Mercenaries one save issue that everybody is throwing a fit about and wanting to turn the games over. GamePolitics.com this morning has a story on it. Capcom responds to complaints about RE, the Mercenaries one save. Oh, yes. All right, so earlier this week, Capcom responded to complaints about the one save scheme it implemented into its 3DS game, Resident Evil, the Mercenaries 3S. Resident Evil, the Mercenaries 3D. Saying that it was not a way for the company to combat used game sales. On its official Unity blog, the company said it was in no way meant to lessen the game's overall experience and that it was designed to be like an arcade fighting game. From the page, here's the official statement from Capcom. All right, so what do they got to say for themselves? They say, In Resident Evil, The Mercenaries 3D, all mission progress is saved directly to the Nintendo 3DS cartridge, where it cannot be reset. The nature of the game invites high levels of replayability, encouraging fans to improve mission scores. The save mechanic ensures that both original and unlocked game content will be available to all users. Secondhand game sales were not a factor in this development decision, and we hope that all our customers will be able to enjoy the entirety of the survival action experience the game does offer. While they claim that secondhand game sales were not a factor in this development decision, it seems awfully coincidental that you can't reset the game save, thereby relocking content another player can be, thereby relocking content another player may have unlocked. While the game may be played through more than once, any content unlocked the first time remains unlocked on the subsequent playthroughs. Oh my goodness, cannot talk.
Oh no, right?
The blog post goes on to pose an answer. Goes on to pose and answer three questions, but the most relevant is the third answer. All right, so the question was, does the inability to reset the save game data mean that those purchasing a secondhand version of the game will have content missing? All right, so the answer is, Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D consists of 30 time-based missions through which the player unlocks skill upgrades as they progress through the game. Anyone purchasing a copy of the game secondhand would have access to all the missions and skills that the original owner unlocked, in addition to the content that was available to the original owner. This certainly sounds like it's meant to impact secondhand game buyers. You can decide for yourselves by reading the entire post on Capcom Unity. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. On one hand, I don't tend to resell my games, so this doesn't really affect me. I'll just look like dust, but you do.
I'm on the fence about it as well. On one hand, I feel like the developer should have factored it in. You should have known people like to resell their games. Or we're in an economy where people sometimes have to resell their games. So you should have thought about that when you were developing it. The people are going to resell, and we need to make sure the data comes off. But at the same time, maybe they're smart. They don't want you to resell it. So they made sure you couldn't.
And this is the way to do it. It's irritating a lot of players. But I can see them trying to get their money, the most money out of it. I can't exactly knock them for it,
They won't get the most money out of it this way, unfortunately.
People won't want to buy it.
Yeah, they won't buy it, and they can't resell it, so somebody else could buy it.
Exactly. Not everybody's like me, and it's just too lazy to take them back.
What? I'm gone. I'm done with that one. All right. So I want some of you out there that are developers and big fans of Valve to sit down right now. I want you to put your hands in your lap and just breathe through this next story. It's okay. Don't scream. Don't scream. Cover your mouth. You, right there. Cover your mouth. Okay. So when I read the title, I know there's going to be screaming. Valve source code is now available for free.
Really?
Yes, Half-Life and Steam creator Valve has announced that the company's source engine and modding tools will now be made available completely free of charge. The software development kit, also called an SDK, we teach you things here, for the technology was previously only available after the purchase of a Valve game, but following the move to Team Fortress 2 free-to-play, the SDK has now been made available at no charge. Ooh, I know some people here at Gamer Antics and Gamer Girls Radio. Gonna be some mad building fools. Okay. Okay, so Valve's Robin Walker has admitted that the free-to-play availability of the SDK was not originally planned and was an unintended side benefit of the change in Team Fortress 2's business model. After a fan pointed out the loophole, Walker revealed to the website Rock Paper Shotgun, hi guys, that Valve decided not to limit the availability, but that the company had not planned in advance for it. He says, we're in the process of getting it done. It's a bit messy because we have multiple versions of the SDK, and there are some dependencies we need to shake out. But yes, the gist of it is that they're going to go ahead and give it to you for free. For more
information. We love free. We love some free.
Well, there's some interesting comments being made. One of the developers over at, he's a web developer, member of the VAD, Frederick Eichen. I can't say your name.
He's useful in the ginger. See, I just give up.
I'm trying. He's saying this combined with the release of free-to-play games on Steam platforms surely appears like an attempt to pull more developers onto the platform. This might very likely be connected to the Origin release as well. Let's see how this shakes out for Valve. But here's another one that pointed out, who's Jeffrey Kesselman. Hi, Jeffrey.
So he said, so the modding SDK is free, but you still have to license the engine to ship a game. Seems to me like this isn't much of a deal. Many game makers have made their modding tools free for quite a while. It's just because it's Valve, Jeffrey, and I don't think anybody's going to be making a game with it, but they didn't say you couldn't make Left 4 Dead mods or other Team Fortress mods.
Ooh.
Yeah, you don't have to actually ship those. See, there's a loophole there. I wonder if that if you have to have a license to create a digital copy of something that you can upload. Maybe they'll create a section for upload to upload your mods here.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It would be. I'd make one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'd be sick after I got done building it. Ooh. You haven't gotten the motion sickness yet, Ginger, in Second Life?
No motion sickness in Second Life.
I do. That's how long I will spend building something and rotating around it. I get motion sickness.
Oh, wow. No motion sickness.
2000,
I'm good.
Like way back 2005 in the Second Life has, I don't know if they still do. I haven't looked at it, and we probably should. Amateur developer competition, and I entered with some lovely ladies from the women's division of IGDA. And we were building our entry, and I would spend 12 hours a day rotating around, you know, whatever it was I was building in Second Life, and every day I had to throw up. Every day.
Wow. That is nuts, woman. Nope, never had that issue.
See, that's how much I love. I have love for the game.
Yes. Yes, she does.
I won't be doing that again, though.
She makes some beautiful things, too.
I have not made anything beautiful lately, but thank you.
I'm just learning. I'm watching videos on how to make clothes, whatnot. I've gotten tattoos down now. I just need to get more.
Your tattoo wouldn't open for me, by the way.
It wouldn't?
No. You logged off and I tried to open it after I got finished taking pictures of people's weddings. And I'm not going to comment on that, but yeah, I tried to open your tattoo. It wouldn't open. I was very unhappy. I've been meaning to gripe at you for 2 days about the tattoo. I was all excited and then I couldn't see anything.
All right. Ooh. I'll resend it to you. All right, well, I think I've got some more news. More fights. We love us some fights, right? Love us some fights. This is the year for some popcorn and some front row seats. GamePolitics.com again this morning, because I love you guys. Samsung ups the ante and Apple legal fight. Oh, yes. The ongoing legal war between Apple and Samsung continues to escalate with Samsung's latest move. The company has asked that sales of iPads and iPhones in the U.S. be blocked. Oh, holy crap. I don't see that happening. The action is a strong counter to Apple's claims that Samsung is copying its products in 6 different countries. Samsung made its request to the International Trade Commission. The latest action by Samsung is an attempt to fight back against Apple's lawsuit over the design of its smartphones and tablet computers. And tablet computers. I just lost a spot. By firing a barrage of litigation around the world, analysts believe that this is Samsung's way of forcing Apple to eventually settle its original patent claims against Samsung. Meanwhile, Apple has decided to move forward with a legal move to get a preliminary injunction in the initial case it filed in April in a federal court in San Jose, California. If successful, this might limit Samsung's ability to sell its smartphones and tablet PCs in the U.S. With the latest legal action earlier this week in Delaware, Samsung now has countersuits pending in California, South Korea, Japan, Germany, Italy, and the United Kingdom. Holy crap. A law professor at Seoul National University, Jong Sang-joo, told the Wall Street Journal, to have lawsuits in many countries at the start is the best way to protect their patents. Apple filed a follow-up suit against Samsung in South Korea last week, alleging that some of the same product copying violations as in the U.S. case and accused the company of violating some of Apple's technical patents.
Wow. Oh, come on, Apple.
Yeah. I don't know. It should be an interesting, well, I say interesting. Probably just going to be boring. It's probably going to be the whole, you stole this, no, you stole this fight back and forth.
It's useless.
I'm not touching you.
That's pretty much what's going on. I'm not touching you. Why are you hitting yourself?
Okay. Exactly.
At least make it interesting, people. Okay. Wow. Well, I know a lot of you have wondered, why was there never a Blade Runner game? Have you been wondering that?
No, wasn't really wondering that, no.
Well, the guys over at Gearbox, specifically Randy Pitchford, said in an interview, creating a game adaptation of a classic science fiction movie, Blade Runner, would have been the end of Gearbox. This is an interview he did with the official PlayStation magazine, where he claimed that the company had a list of dream properties in 2008 that got them all, and that it got them all. Post 2008, the developer had announced Sega's sequel, Samba de Amigo, movie tie-ins from Aliens, Colonial Marines, and the release of Duke Nukem Forever. Blade Runner was on the list. He said, we had it too. And we were like, no, we can't. The game would have cost like $40 million to make and sold about 600,000 units, and that would have been the end of us. I don't know that it would have been.
Probably not.
Well, Fallen Earth is very Blade Runner-esque, and it's doing pretty well.
Well, they did just move to a freemium, so...
Yeah, well, that's true. We'll see how they do after that. But they were doing well before. I wish they'd stay.
They were. They were doing very well.
So he said, there's no rational business model that would have allowed that to make sense. If we'd made it with a business model that did work, it would not have been the Blade Runner game we all would have wanted. In an interview also with CVG, he revealed that fellow Gearbox co-founder Brian Martell met with Alien and Blade Runner director Ridley Scott to discuss plans for the game. Now, two video games have been created based on the film. The first, a contemporary tie-in for 8-bit computers that for licensing reasons, was officially based only on the film score. In 1997, Command and Conquer creators, Westwood Studios, created a graphic adventure side story inspired by the film. There's a lot of comments here from developers and well that says they don't see why it was going to cost them $40 million to make a good Blade Runner game. Maybe he's just exaggerating. He says something decent and immersive with the right crew, studio and project management, using a small incubation studio and crew. You know who would be a good candidate, and not just because I just love them, but because this is something, sounds like something up their alley. Two companies come to mind first will be Rockstar and Bungie. Would have been the perfect team for you guys to go over Gearbox and say, let's work on this together. Would have been great. A Blade Runner.
Yes, I love me some Bungie, so yes.
A Blade Runner, even multiplayer, where it could have been an MMO on Xbox. I'm seeing it in my head. I think it would have worked. I'm just saying. Mm. Because there's not that many. I don't think there is an. Is there an MMO on Xbox that I'm not playing? I keep hearing people say they're playing something. But
if there is, I have not found it. And if there is, somebody tell me about it. Because, hey, I want to play.
This would have been excellent. Because I could just love to run over me some people with a dune buggy. I will tell you. I will just roll over you and back up and roll over you again. Only in game now.
Back over you and roll over you again.
And
yes,
it'd be pink.
Look,
and it would be pink just because. I don't even like pink, but it would be pink just so you knew.
Just so you knew who it was running over you. Not be confused who it was running over you.
Oh, no, here she comes. Pink with a skull on the front. There you go.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm, that is right.
Let's do this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's do this. More stuff. More stuff. I got more stuff. Oh, I got so much stuff.
Go.
All right. This is just a short little story. But anyway, Trench delayed in Europe over trademark troubles. A slight misstep by either developer Double Fine or Microsoft over trademarks has caused the popular game Trench to be unavailable in certain parts of Europe. According to Destructoid Report, citing Eurogamer, a Portuguese board game called Trench holds the rights to the name. A man named Rui Alipio Monteiro, probably said the name wrong, filed the trademark in 2007, which covers both board games and video games. Basically, that means that either the name has to be changed or someone has to cut a deal with Monteiro for the game to have any chance of release across all over Europe. Both Microsoft and Monteiro are not commenting on the situation. Hopefully, Double Fine simply changes the name so Europe can enjoy this great game. Seeing as how I've not really heard much about this, of either one, I don't really care how it goes. Yeah, I'm evil.
Yeah, we know. All right, we love you that way. We love you. All right. Well, I got interesting news.
Oh, you got interesting news? What you got?
The Redcoats are coming.
The Redcoats are coming?
And they want brains.
Oh.
Starting today, you can get ready for 2 weeks of 4th of July festivities as players must purge the war zone of the invading Redcoat zombie forces. This is going to be in the free-to-play MMORPG Realms online.
Ooh.
Killing the zombies and keeping the realm safe will allow players to earn special Independence Day costumes modeled after the colonial era. I like that. Not only will players be able to defeat undead foes, but they'll also enjoy a number of other activities, including fireworks shows put on by Realms GMs, American flag banners playing the national anthem throughout the world, Find the GM, bonus XP events, and more. In addition, special 4th of July items such as fireworks and Uncle Sam hats will be added to the cash shop, available for purchase for the duration of the event, and these other items will also be awarded to players for participation in events. Joining in on the July festivities is a special sneak peek at the upcoming Unicorn Mount. A code will be available for 1 week in the Realms Online Facebook page, also starting today, which will be reward players with free week-long usage of the Unicorn before it's available in the shop. For more information on these and future Realms Online events, you can check out their events calendar on the official Realms Online website. You can also watch the event announcement video on the Realms Online YouTube channel. Isn't it Bastille Day? Am I off a couple days?
I'm not for certain.
I think it's Bastille Day. So happy Bastille Day. If it is, I might be. I'm going to have to look it up while we're doing this. Bastille Day, okay, no, it's on the 14th of July, so I'm early. But that's their Independence Day. I find it so funny that they have the same colors for their Bastille Day. Their French flag?
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue in the Fest State. It's the same thing in French Independence Day.
Yeah, I think so.
Yay!
Yay! And speaking of yay.
I love how we throw that in there. Yay! Pay attention.
Yay! Yay! Speaking of yay, Halo Forever for a day. All right, so TrueAchievements.com presents the ultra fun Halo Forever for a day. Oh, this looks like fun. True Achievements is proud to announce that we are holding the ultra fun Halo Forever for a day with the goal of raising money for Child's Play, which is awesome. We love Child's Play. As we raise money and pass certain milestones, the team will back out of the main menu, add a skull, and resume their playthrough with a new skull challenge implemented. Ergo, the more you donate, the more skulls will be added and the more fun this challenge will be. All right, so here are the donation milestones. IWHBYD skull at $100, Grunt birthday skull at $150, Cowbell skull at $250, Catch skull at $500, The Fog skull at $1,000, Tough Luck skull at $2,500, The Mean skull at $4,000, Thunderstorm Skull at $6,500, Tilt Skull at $10,000, the Black Ice Skull at $14,000, and the Mythic Skull at $20,000. It has also been hinted that if we pass $50,000, the team will commit to playing at least 30 straight hours or until they pass out. Oh, wow. All right, so in the event that the team somehow manages to beat the campaigns of all three games before the 24-hour elapses, they will move over to Halo Reach multiplayer and take on members of the community in big team battle, with all 8 staffers facing off against 8 community members at a time. If you'd like to add your voice to the Twitter UltraFan movement, be sure to use the hashtag #TheUltraFan. Anyways. All right, so finally and best of all, we will be streaming live on Ustream as well as capturing video and posting highlights next week. Donations for the events are now open. Donations are being taken via the event's chip-in page. Note, chip-in works with PayPal accounts.
All right.
And also at True Achievements, we realize that times are tough and money is tight right now. But remember that every dollar you donate goes to buying games for children in hospitals. Children who need that mental distraction and brief respite from illnesses that sometimes don't have a cure. So please, if you can, give generously. All right, and I went ahead, and this is up on GameAndAtrix.com. I've got the Ustream link, the chip-in page, and the True Achievement story page. So go over there, GameAndAtrix.com, and check that out. And if you just have, you know, even a dollar or two, every little bit helps. Just don't buy that cup of coffee today. Throw it in at their page, okay? Thanks.
Yeah, you do that.
You do that. You do that, or Ginger is going to cry.
Oh, Ginger, you ruined the whole thing. You do it, or Ginger's going to cry.
You do that, or Ginger's going to kick your butt. No, not really. I love you guys.
See, she can't. She just can't do it.
I can't be mean. I can't. I cannot be mean.
Oh, okay. Lovely texts. I love it. Okay, so lots of other good stuff. Wait a minute. What time is it? Got to keep an eye on the time. All right. Tales of the Abyss. Have you heard us talk about that?
Yes, I have.
And I love how they give us half of the information. Okay, now, I got the full gamut now. All right, so are you ready? You ready? Yeah. Tales of the Abyss, of course, is announced for EMEA and Australasia? Yeah, I'm going to need y'all not to do that. Okay. At the Japan Expo event yesterday, actually. Namco Bandai Games Europe announced the acclaimed role-playing series launched for the first time on 3DS with Tales of the Abyss that will be out on the 10th of November of this year. Tales of the Abyss for Nintendo 3DS is based on the critically acclaimed PlayStation 2 role-playing game of the same name, delivering full 3D support and use of the dual screens. Tales of the Abyss also offers a new gameplay experience and brings players closer to the action. It tells the story of Luc von Fable, sole heir to the family of aristocrats, as he is suddenly thrust into the outside world on an epic adventure. Naive and spoiled by years of isolation, Luke struggles to learn of his friendship, sacrifice, duty, and choice, with the fates of many in his hands. Luke's actions could ultimately save the world or bring about its very destruction. You know how that goes. Again, it'll be available November 10th across EMA and Australasia. Not here, unfortunately. Another title from the tale of series, Tale of Graces F, will be available 2012 on the PlayStation 3. So it will eventually make its way here some kind of way, but that won't be until next year. And they're not giving us a month, so don't hold your breath. There were some E3 screenshots, ironically enough. I don't know why they would show it, and then we can't, we can't have it. Why would you do that to us? That's just mean.
That's just mean. How dare they mean How dare they be mean to us?
Crazy old Japanese people.
Yes, crazy old Japanese people. He loves you, though.
Yes, we do. That reminds me, Hack.Infection. Is that backwards compatible? I'm wondering, because I've been waiting to play those for years. I just wanted to get them and just sit and play them for like a week. Just sit on my couch, with a back massager and just play.
Oh, that sounds good.
I know, right? I know. All right, squeeze one more in, then we got to go to break.
One more in. Squeeze one more in. All right. GamePolitics.com again this morning, because I love you guys. A survey says consumer confidence hurt by rampant security breaches. Oh, yeah. Here we go. A new survey conducted by MCV UK finds that a majority of gamers in the United Kingdom believe that the never-ending stream of security breaches has seriously hurt consumer confidence. And, it's kind of true. While hacking groups like Lull Security may be retreating from attacking game-related websites and services, gamers surveyed say that the damage is already done. MCV surveyed 633 UK gamers whose digital services, such as PlayStation Store, iTunes, Steam, and other digital... who use digital services such as PlayStation Store, iTunes, Steam, and other digital distribution. They found that 34% had doubt that most publishers are capable of protecting the personal data of users. Another 20% said that they don't trust download services at all. A third of respondents said that they have deleted their accounts altogether in response to the attacks, while 46% said that they still trust publishers. Finally, a third of respondents said that they did not know what actions to take if their data has been lost or stolen, and 54% said that they were unhappy with the level of communication they received from publishers about what to do. It's not hard, people. You contact the credit companies.
There's other steps you're supposed to take that nobody tells you about. And I understand the confusion.
And I have to agree on the level of communication that they received from publishers. Sony.
Well, they aren't the only ones. Blizzard.
This is true. Blizzard who is still denying. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. We don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about that your account's been stolen 5 times in 3 days?
Somebody's in my account sending me emails. I'm just saying.
And I have that cool little app. It's not supposed to be happening, people.
That's right. It is a party weekend, so girls, make sure. Don't drink when you do this, but go ahead and yell out the window. That's a girl. Girl. While you drive around. Yeah, you better not be drinking and driving. In other news, of course, we turn it down for a second at GameNH.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. I love that the recycling truck is outside my house right now. can't hear it. I can't. I was like, this ground is shaking. Wow, the girls do run the world. All right, we'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Got to download to listen. You're the sexy baby, it's gonna last for all my brothers in the club, rocking the ladies. Over by your board, I'm bouncing, get my money later. I think I need a father. I don't need to Right.
It's true, Beyonce. You're so hot.
She has. We're back. She had some kind of special last night about what she did for the year she was off. I think that was a smart move. I don't care about the special, but I think I love her. Don't get me wrong, but you know, she is from Texas. We get overdosed on her a lot here because of her being from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of game companies need to do that. Sometimes you need to let your people take a year off. You know, you guys are kind of like rock stars now. You may not think so, but take a break, go travel, take photos of things, get some good ideas, come back fresh, and hit us with the good games. Bam!
Yes. We do not want the same churned out crap every year.
And some of you need a break because you're just recreating the same game and slapping a new label on it.
And some of y'all, a company in Australia, working your people way too hard. way too hard. Y'all need to take a break.
Apparently so is the people over at Rockstar. Stop it!
Rockstar, don't do it.
Ooh.
We don't want us gamers mad at you. We're a lazy lot, but we've got a long memory.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so is it my turn?
Is it your turn? I thought I just finished.
It's my turn, then.
All right, it's your turn. Then
it's my turn. Well, people, so much going on, as we always say. We never know what to tell you. Some of you are writing to us saying, you didn't mention this. We're only on here for an hour, people. We can't do all day.
I've spent, 3 hours this morning posting news?
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to get all that in
yeah.
1 hour.
This is not possible.
No.
And we could extend the news, but we're not going to, not just yet. You got to listen more for us to extend. Some of you got to, really mm-hmm. listen a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're like, if you put a chat room, somebody just text me that, if you put the chat room on during the news, I'd come. We can't talk to you while we're doing the news. Sorry.
Y'all can talk amongst yourselves, but that'd do us no good.
We'll talk about it. Maybe. I'll discuss it with the ginger.
Okay.
You know, she's the other girl that runs the world.
Yes. Yes, I do. I run the world. Me and my fluffy cakes.
That's right. Damn straight. All right. So, here's a lot.
Of epic proportions.
Do you know you're not muted?
I know I'm not muted.
out of control today. Is channeling me and Snow at the same time. See, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. We have corrupted our ginger. She was the sweet one. It's over. After she said it was over.
It's over. It's over. She has been corrupted.
Taking your halo away from you.
That's fine. I'll just steal it from someone else.
Nobody else has any. That's why you were so luminous, because you're the only one that had a halo in the room. We got to take it away from you. All right, so you people out there, some of you out there will be sad to hear this. Organizers of the Game Education Summit announced that the event, annual event, dedicated to the best teaching practices for game development education has been postponed.
Aww.
Yeah, well, it's kind of good. It's postponed to coincide with the Serious Play Conference. The summit, which was meant to take place last week in Redmond, Washington, was rescheduled to August 24th and 25th. The venue, the DigiPen Institute of Technology in Redmond, Washington, remains the same. So the good news is that the attendees can take advantage of both conferences for the same cost of admission, according to the organizers, and the speakers scheduled for the summit include Tom Higgins from Unity and Steve Reed from Ubisoft's Red Storm Studio, RAR, and David Delarocca from Autodesk. For more information on the summit, let me see, I got you a link, GameEducationSummit.com. Yes.
Ooh.
Go over and check that out. DigiPen's expensive. Jeez. They should still be around all the money they charge. DigiPen, mm-hmm. not that I don't like it. It's just expensive. I was trying to go there when they first opened, and it was just, they were the only ones offering a game program. You have several colleges do now. So those of you out there, who was I talking to the other day? I'm trying to go to community college. I don't think they offer a game program. They do.
Mm-hmm.
They do, especially if you're here in Houston Community College. If you speak to one Miss Rennie Abram, tell her that Corey sent you. She knows me very well. I harass her often. Tell her I sent you over. She does have a digital video game program design and also a programming program. Just to get your associates, as long as you got that piece of paper, you're pretty much good. Actually, you're good if you're just talented. Some of you out there are just naturally talented. Jump in.
Yes, and some of y'all waste it on hacking.
Yeah, don't waste it on hacking. Get a job.
Mm-hmm. Get a job.
I do want to share this news real quick before I go to the next story. Dead Island, remember we were telling you it was going to be banned in Australia? It is
mm-hmm.
no longer banned. Yay. They got an
Yay.
Okay, so you people in Australia will get to play Dead Island. Be happy.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. That is great.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. All right, there's a contest going on. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Is there money?
Contest. No, but there is a Motorola Zoom Android tablet.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Win a Motorola Zoom Android tablet at Doodle Fit Contest. United States and European puzzle game fans can now enter tournament sweepstakes for a chance to win a brand new Motorola Zoom Android tablet. Game Leon Studios today announced the start of Doodle Fit Tournament Sweepstakes with a brand new high-tech Motorola Zoom Android tablet. The tournament will be held on Facebook from July 1st, which is today, until August 15th, 2011. To enter the sweepstakes, players need to follow the link and answer three tricky questions related to the Doodle Fit iOS and Android versions only. And you can do that at game-lion.com/Zoom, X-O-O-M. All right. So what is Doodle Fit? Doodle Fit's not even released yet. Doodle Fit will be released the third quarter of 2011, also for WebOS, PlayStation, Minis, Nintendo DSiWare, Amazon Kindle, and PC Mac. Oh, no, it is. It's already released for the Android, iPhone, iPad, Symbian, Bata, and Windows Phone devices. I was reading this wrong. But anyway, so key features, absolutely addictive gameplay, unique puzzle shapes, several themes, hints, graphics tailored to each device, controls tailored to each device, and Game Center support with leaderboard and achievement on iOS. Free updates, DoodleFit is constantly updated with more levels, themes, and features. All right, so if you head over to GameMatrix.com right now, you can actually find the link for this contest and all about DoodleFit. And I'm pretty sure I also put up a video of DoodleFit. So go over there again, GameMatrix.com, and check that out. And Corey's muted.
Yeah, I sure am. Nope. All right. So apparently the people over at Blizzard, although they don't want to admit to the fact that they've been hacked, they are considered brilliant. They're saying the World of Warcraft Starter Edition has been hailed as a brilliant strategic move by industry analysts. This is from over at GamesIndustry.biz. The news that Blizzard was making the first 20 levels of WoW free-to-play emerged earlier this week, which we told you about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And while the Starter Edition strips away several key features, it is significantly more generous than the preceding 14-day trial. Speaking to industry gamers, Webbush Securities analyst Michael Patcher described the offer as a reaction to the growing threat from free-to-play MMOs, a preemptive move against BioWare's The Old Republic. Is this a great hook to attract new subscribers? People new to MMOs will have to think about whether to buy Star Wars or WoW. It's actually a brilliant strategic move. Arvind Bhatia of Stern AG speculated that the Starter Edition is evidence of Blizzard getting closer to the launch of a next expansion pack for WoW. I think that's what it's more indicative of than...
They do it about once a year, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's not... but David Cole of DEF Intelligence is more reserved. However, positing that simply attracting more players to WoW is enough of an incentive to open up its first 20 levels, this is, I think, more of an issue of WoW has reached somewhat of a saturation point. And while it has held steady, it hasn't seen a great deal of growth. The competition, I think...
They've not offered us anything new.
Yeah. So the competition, I think, is once you reach a...
All the same mobs.
Yes. He said the competition, I think, is once you reach a certain level of success, it gets hard to find new people willing to try it. I tried it, and I was not impressed.
No, it's the same thing. We've not really gotten anything new. The battlegrounds are all old and stale. They've dumbed down all the dungeons. All these expansions, it's the same mobs from all the old expansions, just with new skins on them. You couldn't even offer us anything new. Nothing really new.
It was all dumb when I picked it up because it was trying to be EverQuest and it's not. So I'm sorry, you WoW people out there. The funny thing is a lot of WoW people never played EverQuest, so they have no idea what I'm talking about. You did, but you know the differences. I want my crafting, my heavy crafting. I want my I want my server, my PvP server where I can, you know, start anywhere with any character. I want my difficult. I have to go get my spells. I don't want to earn them. I want to earn them. I don't want to just be able to go buy them. You guys remember to play EverQuest.
Yes, you had to go and get them. Certain spells are only sold in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go travel to get to them, so you had to fight your way there.
That's right. You felt like you earned something. I want to be able to feed my peoples. I like that they got tired. I like that they had to eat. All these were, made a purpose if you had somebody that was a cook. Now you just cook and what?
It gives you stamina buffs and mana buffs and, different little buffs like that. And a lot of them are just stupid buffs. oh, you'll breathe fire. It doesn't do any damage. Put it on. What's the point?
I don't want it to look cute. I want to burn.
3/4 of the enchants are useless. They're just for looks. And it's kind of one of those, you know, I want my stuff to be useful. All right, cool. So the sword is glowy and it's got this cool thing that goes around it. And at low levels, yes, this would be awesome. But then you cut it out to where I can't use it at low levels and I can only use it at high levels. And why would I use it when there are better ones?
Exactly. So I want you to go take a look at EverQuest. EverQuest needs to take a look at its original EverQuest for that matter, because they've strayed so far from their original model. That's what made you successful. Yeah. You should have just updated the graphics and left everything almost identical. You could have thrown a couple of new things in. I wouldn't mind a Hydra being out in the port of one of the ports, you know, when I go out to fish and it grabs.
Girl, I do not miss having to take that stupid boat, though, everywhere. Oh. That boat took flipping forever to get anywhere.
I never did the boat. I always ran where I need to go. Of course, it took me a few days. Real time, yes. Real time running, but I get there.
Well, when you want to travel from one continent to the other.
I wouldn't go to the other continent, and I had a very good friend on another continent, and I told her I was not coming.
No, I was all over the place. I wanted to explore. I wanted to see it all.
That's what made it so fun about EverQuest. No two people have the exact same experience.
That is true.
Because there was so much to find. In Quainos alone, there were areas that used to just keep me busy for hours. Sometimes you go around the side, there's a cave, there's something in the fountain, there's a underground channel. And what I loved was the community, because nobody would tell you these things. They kept, because they didn't want to ruin it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've had people that would lead me places, and they'd be like, just stand here for a minute. I'd be like, well, why? Well, I don't want to tell you because I don't want to ruin it. And then they'd leave me. And then, of course, something would happen. You know, NPC would walk by, and they'd walk through the wall, and I'd go, oh, you can walk through the wall. You know what I mean? And then I'd go, you know. So that was the fun. I didn't feel that with WoW. I haven't felt that with a whole lot of MMOs other than...
No, most of the MMOs, they get my attention for about a week, and then I get bored of them because it's the same game, just different...
Different graphics, but it's the same game.
Yeah, same game, different graphics. I want something new. I want Dark Age Camelback. What I want. I want
that
Dark
was
Age
another
Camelback.
One. That was another one that was really good about letting you explore. No load time. No loading into zones other than the main city,
yeah.
Your respective thing. But you could just wander forever.
Mm-hmm. And back during the day, you could actually break through other people's battlegrounds and go into their PVE area.
Yes,
and
I have fond memories of that.
But to do, but if you could do it, oh, it was so much fun.
Yes, because I remember, I think I've told this story before, being in a town, and I was riding by on the horse, and I saw people breaking in. They were coming through the woods, and I was like, oh, I'm getting out of here. As soon as I got there, I got on my horse, and I yelled out, mm-hmm. I'm in for y'all, I'm out.
Yep, I'm out of here. See ya.
Like, who's coming? Nothing to do with this. You better run. That's what you better do.
Yeah.
So that's what used to make gaming fun. See, we're part of the pioneers that got you guys involved, but you're missing out on some good fun. A lot of developers have just gone. They jumped the shark on what they give you. It's just sad.
It is. But then you have things like Fallen Earth, which...
Fallen Earth is
something new. We'll see. But
I do love to wander in Fallen Earth. I think I rode my motorcycle for like 3 hours the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was going, but I got too high. You know, you get the level too high. I was scared to stop. Everything was red. Everything was red and purple. I was like, I'm going to die if I stop. So I'm going to keep riding.
You're going to keep right on moving.
Let me make a U-turn. I'm running out of gas. Then I'm like, do I have an extra gas can? No, I need to go back. So that's fun. And people are like, well, that's boring. No, it's not. That's part of what you're supposed to be paying for in WoW, an experience where you can sit down and listen to us in the morning when we say, I was doing this, and you go, yeah, I did that too. I was over here. You don't have many experiences like that in WoW.
Mm-hmm.
You have experiences with people, which is fun. But sometimes you're up at night, nobody's up. You still want to be able to have fun by yourself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We have talked our way all the way till it's time to go.
Yep.
Do you want to be off on Monday, dear?
No. I'll be here Monday.
You guys see, Ginger's a workaholic just like me.
Mm-hmm. I like being here. I miss it.
Oh, she loves us. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love you too, boy. Mwah.
Well, a happy birthday to our country. I'll say it again Monday because we'll be here. I will not be playing the Star Spangled Banner. I'm sorry, y'all. I do not feel like crying on the air because, you know, I'm such a patriot. I love my country. I love all of y'all out there. Yes, even though I cut you, I love you. Somebody's like, even though you cut, yeah, I love you. I cut with love. I'll cut you with love. Okay, but we'll see you guys over the weekend. Hopefully somewhere. You know where to find us. Wow, that was loud, wasn't it?
That was.
Felicia, tone it down. Hope everybody out there has on their +5/+2 dexterity vest when you go out this weekend. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive.
Have a designated driver. I know a lot of these places, rental places, are having, you know, if you call them, they'll come pick you up. Taxi services are doing this too. So
yes.
Be careful, people. There's no reason to be stupid.
You know what? I think I'm going to break down and go to the Red Box and get Ellen Noir.
I was thinking about that too.
I'm sorry, the Red Box doesn't look to me, I think. I can pull through it in a night.
Probably not.
Well, maybe.
2 months. I'll be up tomorrow. Crazy.
Here, hands it up. Happy 4th, people.
Happy 4th.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls.
Mwah. Mwah.